You are listening to Renaissance Voices, a podcast about stories and the people who write them. Let's join Christine and Taylor and see where their guest is today.
Well, welcome to Renaissance Voices. My name is Christine O'Dell. My guest with me today is named Nathan Horton. He is certainly highly prophetic, but he is also what I would consider a strong fivefold ministry teacher. And we're going to get into some of that today. I have a question for him about the difference between prophetic ministry and teaching ministry. So I'm going to throw that out there so he can start thinking about that. But welcome, Nathan, to the podcast.
Thanks for the invitation.
You're welcome. I'm excited about our conversation today. And I will say that we have been working on your book for a while, and it is not because of you. It is because of me. Your book is very different in comparison to a lot of them that we have published at ALS because it is very theological.
Yeah.
And you know that I love theology. You and I have great conversations about these things. So we have talked through so much of your book, and I am just thoroughly excited about its publication. Can you kind of share with our listeners what prompted you to write your specific book on the process of faith?
Well, faith has been very important to me in my upbringing. My parents, when they were not married, they had specific denominations they were a part of, but when they got married, they moved into the Word of Faith movement. And there wasn't a Word of Faith work in the community I lived in, but they didn't really teach it to me, but I learned it by watching them. And so it wasn't like they sat me down and said, okay, this is how we live, this is how we believe. It was just that they lived out of what they understood. And I didn't realize what I was being taught by watching, and I didn't know what the Lord was planting within me at a very young age. And even when I stepped into the ministry and I got exposed to the Word of Faith message as an adult, because when you're a kid, you're just like, oh, I like God, but yeah, that's just as far as it goes. but when you become an adult and you actually start saying, this is a God that I want to serve, this is a God I want to learn more about, when I started stepping into this and I started hearing the Word of Faith message, I didn't really get it in my head fully because it was so contrary to what I grew up in the denominational church. And I didn't quite get it in my head, but my spirit really jumped for it. And I didn't quite understand it at that time, but it's been... And from that point on, it has been very crucial and very pivotal in my study time. It's how I think. It's how I see. It's how I communicate. It's basically the very structure of everything I do, both in ministry, but also in how I my relationship with the Lord.
That's awesome. When you say Word of Faith, can you describe that in your terminology?
Faith is about a relationship with the Lord. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It is because God's not a list. He's a person.
Right.
We don't have a relationship with a rock of stone with rules. We have a relationship with a living, breathing, thinking, emotional person that has a mindset, who has a desire for our lives. And faith is just basically learning how he moves, learning how he speaks, learning how he operates, and actually trusting that he is a God that does not lie. That he is for us and not against us. And when we believe that, we actually step into that. And when I'm reminded of the Indiana Jones movie, the third movie, where he just takes a step out and he doesn't even see it.
Yes.
Okay, but there's a context to that. Faith is, we say that he didn't see it, so that's real faith. No, faith sees, you just don't see it in the natural. Your understanding of who he is gives you vision, and that vision actually gives you the ground. Even though you can't see it naturally, you know who he is, you know his character, you know how he thinks, you know how he moves, and because of that, you are confident that even though I don't see it in the natural, the ground's there whether I see it or not.
That's so good, Nathan. That's what I love about conversations with Nathan, because he is so good at bringing a word picture into play that helps you to understand really difficult concepts. And not only that, but he uses so many movie themes in it. And I love that because it's relatable, Nathan. It's so relatable. You know, I have seen a theme emerge already. This is our third episode for season two. And I have seen a theme emerge already in the fact that we are all different. We serve a God who who says he is the same. He is constant. Mm-hmm. He is faithful in who he is, right? But he creates us all with different gifts and different personalities for different purposes, right? So there is this sense of, you know, even talking with John, we had Pastor John on here for episode one and just talking about our freedom in Christ.
Right.
And what that means. We talked to Taylor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, last week. And she and I talked about finding your authentic voice when you are writing. And so when I was reading your book, I loved the fact that you talk about that specific thing in there, that God, there is a process to this, but it's not a formula.
Right.
Because of all the things that you just said, because God is a is relational.
Yes.
And in that relationship, he is wanting, use this word quite often, he is wanting to partner. He's wanting us to partner with what he is doing, and he partners with us. And so can you talk a little bit about what you mean by partnership?
Well, put me on the spot.
I did.
When I think about partnership, I think of equal opportunity. But yet, when you're talking with God, you know, I mean, there's this religious idea that God's, I mean, it's not really religious, but it could be, that God's so far above that he can't be reached.
Right.
That, I mean, there's scripture says that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But there are scriptures where it says, but he has made things aware unto us by his spirit. So there is an understanding, and there is an aspect about him that we can't, we're going to spend all of eternity figuring it out. I like, when I explain this, I like to picture him as a jewel. And when you see a jewel, you're like, oh, I understand it, but it just turns a little bit. And there's this totally different dimension that you never saw before. And it wasn't there until the jewel turned. And that's how God is. He's deep. He's deep in moments. He's shallow at moments. He's complex at moments, and he's simple at moments. It's just who he is. And so partnership, with when I think about partnering with God, it is that he gives me the opportunity to learn who he is. And as I learn who he is, I learn who I am.
That's
and
good.
So that the partnership thing is, it's his invitation to say, I know how to do these things. He lived it when Christ was on the earth. He was tempted in every form, and yet he did not sin. Mm-hmm. And so, and there's scriptures that fill out in the New Testament that is his desire to teach. It is his desire to guide. It is his desire to say, hey, I want to come down with you and actually lead you in this thing called life, and also the journey that I have before the foundation of the world put into place. And so, again, when I think of partnership, it's just this invitation of learning who I am by doing what he does.
That's
and,
so good.
And he does it with me, for me, and through me. And it's just, it's an adventure.
It really is an adventure. I would agree with you. That is so good, because he is so personal and so involved in our lives. That is the thing that I grew up in the Lutheran church.
Okay.
And I can remember, you know, going in and singing the songs, and there's some aspects of the Lutheran church that I really love. It set a tone of reverence for me, for God. It allowed me to move through some of the things that we did. We stood and we honored the Lord in certain times, right? We might have knelt at certain times. So it really did set the tone for honor.
Yeah.
When I really came into a deep relationship with God, that was the thing that just really surprised me, was how personal and relational he really was, how close he was to me, that I could literally hear his voice through the Spirit, through that relational piece, that aspect that salvation brings. And so partnership with God is, for me, is exactly what you talked about. Like, he created us for a specific purpose. He had a specific purpose in mind before we were even formed in our mother's womb for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, he doesn't just want to leave us alone in it all. He wants us to fulfill that purpose because it brings him glory.
Yes.
And it brings the fulfillment to us for our lives. He wants us to have abundant life, right?
Yes.
So in that, he just partners with us to see that all of that takes place. And the beautiful thing is, through all of that, we in turn, just like I said a minute ago, give him the glory and bring glory to him and advance his purposes on the earth, doing the very thing that we're created to do, which brings us fulfillment. Now, I don't know about you, but that is an amazing God to serve.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The fact that he has this ultimate plan. I mean, when we think about our people that have plans that are very controlling, they say, no, don't mess it up. I have it specifically to this scenario. I have it specifically down to this calculation. Don't mess it up. And there's this weight on living the Christian life where we're like, I don't want to mess it up. And the Lord's like, no. I put your mess ups in the calculation. There's no plan B. There has always been plan A. The sins that we stepped into, it wasn't his plan, but he put it in the calculation because he knew before the foundation of the world what was going to happen. And so I really feel this unction right now that there are people that are going to be listening to this that they feel like they've messed up.
Yeah.
They feel like that there's this awesome plan that the Lord has placed upon their life, and they're called, they're gifted, they've had that moment where God has called them, and they've had that moment where man, because God was both called by, he grew with favor with God and with man, so there's both aspects there. And so they've had this moment, and they're like, their past, their upbringing, their the way their friends view them, the way there's so many aspects and so many elements that the enemy lies and throws at people and say, no, you're disqualified. And I just feel like the Lord wants me to tell you, no, you're not disqualified. You're qualified because of what Jesus has done. And there's because what he has done and he and what his choices, not your choices. Now it's our choice to partner with that. It's our choice to step into that, but do not allow your mistakes or the acceptances of the lies that the enemy has given you to thwart you from what God has called you to do. Okay. And he's not in a rush. He's patient. That's one of the greatest things that I learned over the years where I was in my bed and I was thinking about some stuff that I was dealing with. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, what does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? And I was like, oh God, you know that. It's the love chapter. And he's like, yes, okay, but what, I am love, right? And I was like, yes. And he's like, what is an aspect of love? And I was like, patience. And he's like, I can't, if I'm not patient with you, I'm not me. That is the very core of my being. I am love, and love is patient. So if for me not to be patient with you, it's for me to be not be me. So if I'm patient with you, why can't you be patient with yourself?
That's so good.
And so I just want to remove the weight of performance over anybody that might be listening to this, that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knew the beginning from the end. He knew the end from the beginning. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I just want to release that you're going to finish your walk. You're going to finish it. And don't let the enemy think that you've messed up to such a degree that it can't be finished. No. This is a journey, and there's tripfalls in the journey. There's wonderful scenery in the journey, and sometimes there's valleys, sometimes there's mountains. But I just want to release this unto you. You're going to finish your race, and you're going to finish it with joy.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Nathan. That's so needed that we speak that over one another in our culture, right? Our culture of success. We're very success driven and we think we have this understanding of what success looks like here in America, but God calls success something very different.
Oh yeah.
You know, he says faithfulness in it all is what is success in his eyes. And that means in all of it. And he, just like you said, he is able to take everything and turn it to our good.
Yes.
Right. And even when we do find ourselves faltering, we can humble ourselves before the Lord and grow, and that he turns it all into good for us, right? Because so everything that we find ourselves, just like you talked about, if we find ourselves maybe stumbling on some degree, you know, where we just feel like we missed it. We missed what God had for us. We missed what he wanted to do through us. Yeah. He knows how to redirect that, and he knows how to take the disappointments and the whatever it was that was kind of thrown in our path that created some stumbling blocks along the way. He knows how to make us stronger in it all. And that is his ultimate goal, right? That's what this Christian life really is all about, is that I learn how to let go of my ideas, of my strength, of functioning out of my own strength. And I learned, just like you talked about, how to partner with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to move through me. And that doesn't happen overnight. Now, now in salvation, you know, there's something that happens in salvation in the fact that we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The old man is dead.
Yeah.
But there is a process in us fully understanding how to walk all of that out.
Yes.
And so to just thank you for saying that, you know, just to say that the journey is the Christian walk, right?
Yes.
It is a journey. And on all journeys, every journey, there is a path taken that has some twists and some ups and downs, and God is there with us through it all. So, Nathan, I want to ask you this. How did you decide you were going to write this book?
Instantaneously, if I could say. I was, the book I wrote is a message that I've been studying, thinking about, meditating on, listening to for about 10 years. And I thought that it was going to be a sermon series and then a book. I didn't realize it was going to be a book first. In December of 2021, December 31st, 2021, I was going to bed, and spoiler alert, the next day was the next year. And so I was in that moment where I was about to fall asleep, and I was also dealing with COVID at this time. And so my life had literally paused as we were entering into this next year. And the Lord spoke to me, and He says, your first book needs to be published by the end of 2022. And I was like, huh? I was like, what? And He's like, your first book needs to be published by the end of 2022. And then I went to bed. And I woke up. And I remembered that. That was the first thought that came to my mind when I woke up about what the Lord had told me. And usually, this is a characteristic of Nathan, that the Lord is working with me. I'm a procrastinator.
Right.
But I did not procrastinate with this. There was I wrote about grace in the book. I partnered with a grace that I have not partnered with in a long time. And I literally wrote this book in a week and a half.
Wow.
Dealing with, I mean, it was literally a download and a transcribing what I was getting. It was a thing that I had been thinking about for years. So the idea to write the book wasn't entertained. I knew I eventually would, but the actual stepping into it was very quickly and very like, okay, well, no time better than the present.
Right.
let's get to it.
While you have COVID, let's just write this book. Well,
book.
Right. You talk about a vision you had, and we are a prophetic community. And prophets live out of revelation, right?
Yes.
That deep relationship with God and Holy Spirit, the presence of God, allows us to gain His heart and mindset in different ways. Those are the gifts of the Spirit, right?
Yes.
And one of those gifts that prophetic people tend to walk in is that revelation piece, where we'll just kind of see what some of us see things, some of us feel things, some of us, you know, can hear things, or maybe just have a knowing all of a sudden about what God's heart is in the matter. But you are a seer, and you get visions, and there's a vision that you talk about in this book. And out of that, like, you built the whole book off this vision, which I thought was a really unique way to throw out all the theology in there. And it really does show that it's coming from that revelation, right?
Yes.
That your obedience came out of revelation, which is your whole book.
Right. Yes.
You know, so you were doing the very thing that you were teaching on in your book. And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Do you want to share just a little bit about that vision?
I can. When I, there's a moment in my life where I was in full-time ministry, and there were some things that were going on, and the Lord called me out of that for a time. And when I look back in hindsight, because I went back to Rhema for their camp meeting, and so I was in the hotel room just thinking about, because I just stepped out of the ministry. It was a major transition in my life. Didn't know what was going on. And what I was in prayer while I was in the hotel room. And what I saw this vision. What I saw was this very simple bridge. On the left side, okay, was, and it was, this bridge was stretching across two cliffs. And you could look down and you didn't see anything. So it was just this big open space underneath the bridge. And what I saw on the bridge was going from left to right were these trucks moving across. And it was just interesting to me because there was no trucks going to from right to left. It was literally all of them going from left to right. And as I was looking at that, I instantly knew, I didn't really see words, but I instantly knew that each segment of that vision represented a different Bible topic. The left cliff represented grace. The right cliff represented faith. The bridge, the support systems of the bridge represented belief. And the trucks specifically represented hope. The actual location and the way that the bridge was actually put between the cliffs represented prayer. And those five aspects, and because what I write in my book is that I've heard these topics a lot, and but I've never seen them connected. And the Lord was basically sharing with me through that vision, because I have always known that grace and faith are connected. I knew that hope and faith was connected. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I know faith and grace were connected because by grace are we saved through faith. And I knew belief and faith were connected because they're sometimes interchangeable, but they're not necessarily. But I never saw how grace, prayer, faith, hope, belief all intertwined together into this process that the Lord was giving me. And so I was like, okay, this is cool. And I said, this is how you partner with me.
Yeah.
And it was a major, and it, what I do in the book is I go from step to step to step. And it's, you can be at the grace part. You can be at the belief part. You can be at the hope part. And then the whole goal is to get to the faith part. And it's very, very sequential, very chronological, which is just who God is. It's very simple. And it's very like, when you read it, you can easily say, this is where I'm at. And my prayer and my desire is that you now know where you're at in the book. Now you know what you can do to step up into the next part of the process. And the whole process is, and the whole thing is partnership. You're not trying to become a partner. You are a partner. The whole thing is partnership. The moment you step into the first step, you're partnering with the Lord. And you're partnering in revelation. You're partnering with understanding. You're partnering with who He is. But the more you learn and the more you step into this, you actually start to see the manifestation of that partnership come into fruition.
That's so good. I loved how you personified some of those key aspects in your book. Like, you know, grace is a giver. And so then every time I read the word giver, I could see giver as a person almost, you know. It really did, Nathan. Your book, your book is called The Process of Faith. It took me through the process of faith. And that's what I was asking as I was reading it. You know, does this do what he set out to do? And I can say it absolutely 100% did. I find myself even today, like I was walking this morning and praying about some things, and I found myself going through the process. Well, where am I in my own process of partnering with God over what I'm asking Him to do? Where am I in the process that Nathan laid out? And so it really has given me some steps for growth. Yeah. I don't usually think that way. You know, I am much more of a global person, just let me flow we're going to see where God takes this. Yeah. So to give me those steps where I could have some bite-sized pieces to chew on and really break some things apart, to me was very critical for me and what I was needing God to do today and really understanding where I was in it all. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Oh.
It was a joy.
I just think so many people are going to find some practical steps of breaking it down so that it's understandable. Cool. And that's where I want to go back to that first question that I kind of threw out there. And I said, I'm going to come back and ask you this, because to me, a good teacher does that.
Yes.
A good teacher takes really difficult things and brings some simplicity and some clarity so that whoever is listening can take the next step forward. Yep. And you are a highly prophetic person, but you are also very much a teacher. This may be a really difficult question because we just are who we are, right?
Yes.
You know, like all of that meshes together to make Nathan. But how would you say, And the reason I'm asking this is because I believe we are in a season where God is going to raise up teachers again for the church.
Full agreement.
Where you see teachers right now, the fivefold ministry teaching gift, you see them writing books. You know, that's where we migrate to.
Yeah.
However, I believe, especially in the circles that we are in,
yeah,
that we have not had those strong teachers that have really been speaking into the church on a personal level. And I believe that God is raising up teachers for that purpose. And the reason I believe that is because I know that we're walking through a season of reform.
Yeah.
We're walking into some new things, and teachers lay foundations, mm-hmm. right? So
yes.
There's some foundational pieces that I feel like God is wanting to lay down so that we can build the new, what he's doing since COVID, that we can build on solid ground. I don't know. Does any of that resonate with you? And how would you describe the role of a teacher in the church setting today?
I guess the best way I can present this is just how look at how my life was. There, like you said, there are two main gifts that I operate in, the teacher and prophetic. But I didn't know I was prophetic first. The first gift that I was opened up to was the teacher. I remember when I first spoke behind the pulpit, and the pastors that I was speaking for at that time, they called me. They said, "You do know that you teach, right?" And I remember being excited. I didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be, and so I always say, I don't just teach. It's who I am.
Right.
And I describe that by, I see in puzzle pieces. And I feel like teachers will understand when I say this. I see in puzzle pieces. And what I mean by that is that when, especially in scripture, when I see a concept, because you know how like puzzle pieces, they all have different shapes. And you can look at one puzzle piece and say, and try to put it with another puzzle piece. And based on the edges, you can determine if that piece fits with that piece. And vice versa. And so that being said, I see puzzle pieces because when I see a concept, I am automatically looking at where does this fall in line? What is the big picture that the Lord is trying to do in the Bible or in just in this specific Bible story? Sometimes scriptures are just popping up in my head because to add more concreteness to that. And so when I think about the role of the teacher in the church, I just keep hearing this word concrete. Just make things more concrete, not fluid, not necessarily. I mean, there's a flow in the Holy Spirit, but I really feel like sometimes that there's power in structure. There's power in understanding. There's power in concreteness, if that's even a word. Okay. And so I feel like there's when you're fluid too much, you can go up in many forms of doctrine, many forms of thinking that are not necessarily biblical or not necessarily God ordained. But I really do feel like that the role of the teacher is to say, not necessarily this is it, but to say this is it. Okay? Because I mean, we walk out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So I'm not going to say this is what you believe. I always say this, the role of the teacher is not to make you believe something, it's to give you something to believe in.
I am with you on that. I feel like the role of the teacher, when I teach, I want to give people a place to land.
Yes, yes.
It is not my job to
yes.
teach you exactly how to think.
Exactly.
Because again, we are all different.
Exactly.
And God is going to process through you according to your personality and your bent. He's going to process through me according to my personality and my bent. But truth does set people free.
Yes.
So there has to be a place where we are truly allowed to present the truth, let it germinate,
yes.
and let it do its work.
Yes.
And in that, it does bring some structure to things.
Yes.
I 100% agree with you. And I think it's interesting, and maybe this is why I wanted to bring it up, because prophetic ministry is fluid.
Yes.
That is
yes,
its nature.
It
needs to be fluid,
it is.
Right?
Yes.
And so the teacher, if God is going to raise up the teachers, I don't know. It just seems like this divine tension between
yes.
the two. And yet, isn't that what God does so
yes.
often? You know, in really in all the fivefold ministry
yes,
gifts.
Yes.
That there's this divine tension where they don't always understand one another.
Right.
And it's not one over the other. It's yes. both. It's all yes. needed so that we can grow up into maturity, which right. is what Ephesians yes. says when Paul talks about building the church
right.
and the fivefold ministry. It's all so that we can grow up into maturity, and we need all of it. I just so appreciate your teaching gift
Thank
and
you.
The way that it does cut through and it lays foundational pieces. And yet you understand the prophetic because you are highly prophetic and you flow and you move in that as well. And Nathan, I just want to say it's been an honor to work on your book and to work with you. I feel like your book really, just like we talked about earlier, is going to give people that place to land
yeah.
to be able to grow and understand that God wants to partner with them. That is his heart. It's not for just some elite out here who have made it. It's all of us.
Yes.
We are all a royal priesthood, right? If
yes.
we are believers, we are part of the royal priesthood. And God wants to take every single solitary one of us and allow us to fulfill the purpose that we were created for, and in that, bring him glory. Look for Nathan's book, The Process of Faith, to be released in the coming weeks.
You have been listening to Renaissance Voices. To listen to more interviews by your favorite authors at 8L's Publishing, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. You may also follow us on social media. Links are found in the show notes.